This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back. 4 o'clock hour gets underway. Priscilla, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mark Scraby.
I almost didn't catch that. Mark Scraby.
Where's my $65,000?
It's crazy that you guys... I think
you lost out on each of the last two.
I think that would be the simplest thing in the world to get the name right when someone's giving
Scraby,
you a bunch of
you've
money.
You've known me for however many years, and you still got my name wrong.
I misspelled it.
You're also
what's the difference?
I don't want to give this
I've
away.
I've done it like 7 years in a row.
And then you had a gaffe.
Okay, well, if...
That just means
but I've
disrespect.
Proven that I know your name.
No, you apparently don't. Ginn?
Ginn and Chris? Tony calls everybody my man, so he doesn't know anyone's name. And I will tell you that I do the same thing now because I've come to find that to be very effective. And my wife gives me the hardest time every time. I heard you say my man again.
It's a disarming.
It's a great one.
It gets you off the scent.
Gets you off the hook. And people like it. It seems like a friendly
it's an
hello.
Endearing, yes. It's yeah. endearing.
My man. All right, my man, let's play a little Chris versus the fans over there.
I'm having, I think I'm
having a meltdown over
no,
here.
No, I think I'm having a technical glitch, because if you just watch the stream, it's just me going, shaking my head no.
You're having a glitchy point, huh?
Yeah, all right. We ready?
Yes,
oh, real quick.
Yes.
Before we get in, have any of you guys seen Mookie Betts?
I have.
Oh, since he lost.
I'm actually concerned.
He's playing, though, from what I heard
he
tomorrow.
He said he just wants to play, but he's still not holding food down since 2 days before they left for Tokyo. He did an interview today describing it, which Chris Graby and I are watching it. First of all, he looks ill. He doesn't look, obviously.
He looks gaunt.
175 was what he came into camp with. He's 150 right now.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And hearing him describe the flights that he got sick 2 days before Tokyo, he said it was the worst flight he's ever been on the way out, and he had to endure the same thing on the way back.
I'm looking for a current picture of him online, but they don't have one.
Today, I think, was the first day anybody has seen him.
Seen him? Yeah.
He didn't look good. I hope he gets better. It was kind of scary to see him like that, honestly.
He said his body is just kind of eating itself. Okay,
that's not a
not know what you
sounds
want.
Fun actually.
Goodness.
No, but I saw the video Tony's talking about. It's scary.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look good, man.
And he talked about how he had to fly to Japan, and he said it was the worst flight of his entire life. Can you imagine being? Did you guys just say this?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I was doing Chris versus the fans stuff. Sorry.
Let's go ahead and get to Chris versus the fans.
I was doing questions.
It's all good.
you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself?
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
It's actually funny when it's not me, because mine's is actually an open.
Used to be, yeah. Carl Sheffers. You guys know about him? Yeah, we talked about him 5 minutes ago.
Carl Sheffers. That's true.
It's way better.
That
was
a good one.
Does anybody know who he is?
Yeah. All right. We had done a whole segment on that one.
Yes, we have. Here's what you're playing for. 2 tickets to Alanis Morissette at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace on October 24th. 2-night hotel stay. October 23rd through the 25th at Flamingo Hotel and Casino and a $100 gas card. You will also win a 4-pack of tickets to the Good Guys 24th McGuire's Del Mar Nationals going down April 4th through the 6th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Grab tickets at good-guys.com/DMN. And the rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know. Before you get into it, you'll get that question for free. And again, Chris vs. the Fans is brought to you by Good Guys 24th, McGuire's Del Mar Nationals, April 4th through the 6th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Get details at good-guys.com, good-guys.com. All right, let's go with our first contestant today. Hopefully the
phone. How the questions looking today? You kind of on the up and up?
We'll see.
We're about to find out.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see. Let's go to Andrew in San Diego. Hopefully the phones work today. Hello, Andrew.
Is it working?
It is indeed.
Hey,
welcome, Andrew.
Andrew, you made it.
I made it.
Yeah, here we go. First question. How many seeds are in one region of the bracket?
16.
You can tell.
16? I had to rephrase that question because the original question was, how many seeds are in one corner of the bracket?
I had no idea what to say. I had no idea how to call it that. And region is the word.
In a tournament of drops?
Yeah, it could be anything, really.
All right, question number 2.
Who stole the most bases on the Padres last season?
I'll say Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill.
Stay there.
That's a tough one. They didn't steal many bases, right?
They did not.
No.
Can't tell you that.
You can't tell me that?
No.
Might have been a pitcher.
Could have been.
No, it was.
Could have been, Tony says.
Could have been.
I think it was Ha-Sung Kim.
It was indeed.
Sorry about
Mr. Ha-Sung Kim.
Now with the playing in a minor league ballpark.
Yes. A hot minor league ballpark.
By the way, the other Kim, without a lot of fanfare, the Dodgers, you know, went all in on that Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah.
And the Padre fans were upset, you know, oh, we lost another. He didn't even make the team.
Yeah.
He's in the minors already. Yeah. So that didn't turn out quite the way they were hoping.
So they missed on one of their 25 free agents.
I'm just saying they missed on one, yes.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. Let's go to Ryan in Chula Vista. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
We're not doing much. Well, my man. Here we go. First question. Where is the NCAA headquarters?
This is the number one?
This is the number one.
I thought this was common knowledge.
Nah, to say the number one.
Like their office building, I'm going to say Connecticut.
Is
this too hard of a question?
It might be, because I think it's Kansas City, but if it's not, then it is too hard of a question.
Okay, because you don't know it.
Not Kansas City.
Not, huh? See, there you go.
It is Indianapolis.
They moved it.
Apparently.
They did. I know it used to be there, but that's good for you, Ryan. You're still alive.
I like to go, oh, they moved it. They moved it.
Question.
I didn't know it, so they moved it.
I continue, Mark.
Question number 2. Hey, Mark, let's go, man. Let's go.
Oh, I I thought you were talking to the caller, but the caller's name is Ryan. You're talking to me.
Yes, we are.
3 Padres tied for the team lead with 3 consecutive games with a home run.
Oh, boy.
Name 2 of the 3. 3 consecutive games with a home run. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Higgy and Merrill.
He got
nice job.
Who was the third?
Higgy.
You don't have to. He doesn't have to get it, but you should tell
Fernando.
Us who the third.
Fernando. Toddy.
Very good. Higgy, yeah.
All
Higgy
right.
Had a good run.
Are we going to get Higgy's not on the team all year?
Probably.
I think only time will tell.
He hit 220 last year, so let's not over.
He hit 17 home runs and big home runs. Anyway, it's not a Higgy conversation.
This isn't. Higgy got his bag.
He did.
He's out in Texas. All right, next question. For the win.
Let's go.
Which state has produced the most NCAA men's basketball championship winning teams?
I'm going to go with California.
California
knows how to party.
Yes,
yeah!
Indeed.
Yeah!
The best state has all really of loud. The championships.
Well, we got UCLA had 11.
Yeah, they
and
helped.
And USF had a couple, and I think Cal got one or two in there in the old days. North Carolina's probably pretty close, though, with Duke and North
USC
Carolina.
USC's never won
USC
a national
championship.
I'm trying to think of other schools.
Stanford never won a national championship.
They might have won, like, in 1932 okay. when it was
so
just starting out.
One.
In the
Pacific?
In the peach bucket days.
Peach bucket.
Stanford, I think.
Pulling it out of a peach bucket.
Yeah, you know, and they're shooting perimeter shots underhanded. You know, Hank Lucetti was the guy's name. I think he played at Stanford.
What did you ref back in those days?
I was there. I saw Hank Lucetti. Called him for traveling when he thought he had a game-winning shot once.
And he went to travel.
Took 3 steps before he let the shot go.
Do you know why? Can I tell you? Do you guys know why dribbling is a part of basketball?
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Tell us.
Do you know why it came about?
No.
Okay. So back in the day.
Wait, did you get this from that one website again?
Yeah.
No, not parade.com.
Not parade.com.
Okay. All right,
go ahead.
I did a little research on this because I wanted to know. Yale was the first team who actually did the dribbling because. So
were they just running up and down the court?
Yes, but you had to, like, you had to pass the ball. And so they started dribbling because they were passing it to themselves. So, like, you could. I don't think they could run up and down the court.
The dribble,
I think you had
passing.
To, like, pass up and down the court, but the dribble counted as passing to yourself.
Leave it to the smart guys to come up with a genius way.
Chris is probably looking up the origin of the story right now.
No, I'm looking up Hank Lucetti. He was actually the first guy to shoot the traditional two-handed set shot. So, before Hank Lucetti, they flicked it up there underhand.
I mean, that's just dumb. No one ever thought, I'll shoot it overhand?
I mean, everything was probably easier from here.
You know, one of the greatest free throw shooters ever was a guy named Rick Barry.
Yeah, he
used
to shoot the
Hall of Fame. He shot them all underhanded.
I do know that.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we start our NL preview for the 2025 season. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here is some traffic. 4:19 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We got our National League preview. We knocked out the A division yesterday. I think we are a little bit behind, but we are going to knock out the NL East, Central, and West. Do you have a preference, Mr. Scraby?
Let's start with the East.
You would like to start with the East, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that bother you guys or something?
No, not at all.
All right, well, let's go with the East then. We're going to start here, and we're going to start with you today, Chris.
All right, thank you.
Who do you think is going to win the National League East this year?
Well, I think it's a tough 3-team call. You can go any way. Phillies won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Braves had a ton of injuries and still almost won it. I think the Mets are going to win it. I'm only saying that. The only issue with the Mets is that the Phillies and Braves do have much better starting pitching than the Mets. But the Mets should be able to score enough runs to make up for that. But I'm really picking the Mets because I'm normally wrong, and I just don't want to see Juan Soto win the division. So it's kind of a jinx pick. I'll take the Mets.
You'll take the Mets. All right. I am going to take the Braves. I don't know why. I just feel like the Braves are going
to kissing up
it.
To the boss again, huh?
Oh, yeah. Adam, are you listening? I'm going to go Braves to win the division.
Kissing up to the boss again.
Yeah, that's what you do.
I'm going to take the Phillies.
Man, that's fair.
I think everybody's kind of sleeping on the Phillies. I think the Braves have been so good the past 3 years, even though they were banged up. I think they just are like the auto pick for everybody this year. But I don't think their pitching staff is as good as it was last year. You lose a guy like Max Fried, that's a pretty big loss.
That is a big
loss.
You're
going to get Strider back at some point, but
don't know how good he'll be.
Schwellenbach.
Listen, young man was pitched well at the end of the day. I know the Padres got to him in the game that they faced him. What's the other young pitcher's name?
Got Schauver.
Three names, yeah.
A.J. Smith, Schauver.
Schauver.
By the way, enough of the two last names. Sorry, I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, and I understand there's a lot of situations with, you know, mixed relationships and families.
Yes, yeah.
But choose a last name.
Encarnacio Strain.
Choose a last name.
enough of this. Yeah, you just hit it on the head, Tony.
Encarnacio
Strain. His name doesn't even fit on his jersey.
He only goes by Encarnacio on the jersey.
It is pretty long.
I think it'll be the Phils, though. I'm going Phils.
All right, you're going Phils. Now, I guess I am up first for the last place team, and that's pretty easy in this division.
All right.
Marlins are going to be so bad. They have a $42 or $47 million payroll right now. It's ridiculous. Okay. Chris?
Well, yeah, I don't see a lot of improvement in the Marlins. They do. I mean, you get rid of Kim Ng.
You try to get rid of your whole minor league system and get out of here.
And then Kim Ng and, you know, Schumacher, you know, good people. Ran him out of town.
He was like, he ran out of town himself. That's how bad it was.
All right, anybody for 50, name the Marlins manager
I know who it is.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, because you know this guy from somewhere?
McCullough.
Clayton McCullough.
He's a Dodgers guy,
first base coach for the Dodgers last year.
Okay.
That's why I knew who it was.
Boy, he's in for an awakening.
Yeah,
I hope he knows what he's getting into.
Yeah. Man, oh man, is that a bad spot to be in?
Yeah.
I guess you are a manager in the major leagues.
True. There's only 30 of those jobs, but, you know.
Yeah. There's actually 29. This is not one of those jobs.
All right. We all chose Marlins. Division MVP, Tony.
You know what it is.
Juan Soto. Chris?
Yeah. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I'll take Ronald Acuña.
There you go.
How about that?
He's going to come in mid-season and take
That's
over.
That's right. Everything blazing. I'll go with Acuña. He's on your fantasy team, Scripps. You should be happy with that pick.
I am. Also, by the way, everybody, I haven't announced this on the air yet. I selected Jackson Merrill for my fantasy team, I will be talking a lot about him this year.
Well, and that means if he struggles, who's going to get to blame? I don't know why you said that.
Hey, Mark, we need an answer.
I don't know who Mark is. I can't pick Juan Soto.
Because
I honestly don't think he's going to have I don't think he's going to have a Soto year.
He can't help it. It's too good.
I'm going to say Francisco Lindor. He's good enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Finished second last year.
All right, let's go to me now for the best newcomer in the division. And the best newcomer is pretty easy, but I'm not going to go that route.
Of course you're not. You guys are haters.
Still not going to go with Juan Soto here, huh?
No, because I'm going to go with Jerickson Profar.
Best
newcomer. There you go.
That's nice of you.
Tony?
You know what it is.
Jerickson Profar.
No, it's not Jerickson.
Juan Soto. Chris?
I'm going in the non-Soto category as well. I will pick Jordan Romano, who's going to close things out for the Phillies.
We are
Jordan Romano
picking looking the bottom of the barrel there.
He's making almost as much money as Juan Soto, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Chris, Division Cy Young.
You know, this is a tough. I mean, they had Sale last year. They had Wheeler last year.
Nola.
You got Alcantara two years ago. You know, but he can't win it on that team.
No,
unfortunately. I wouldn't think. I'll go with Zach Wheeler this time.
Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You guys said you can't go with Alcantara. I was going to go with Alcantara, hoping he gets traded at some point
in
the season.
Try it.
But I shouldn't do that because you guys are right. That's kind of a shot in the dark. I want to choose something different. Is Spencer Strider going to have enough time to win a Cy Young?
Depends on when he comes back.
If he misses, say, the first month, is that enough time?
I would think he'd have enough time if he only misses
I'm
going to
say Spencer Strider.
All right.
Tony?
I'm going to go with a name that you're probably not thinking of.
Okay. Juan Soto? can't definitely pitch. Not thinking of him.
He can't pitch. How about Christopher Sanchez?
I've heard him talked about in big-time glowing terms this year.
What team does he play for?
Phillies.
Oh,
left-hander
yeah,
for the
that.
Phillies.
Yeah.
Lefty.
Heard some really good things. People are very excited about him.
All right. That's it for that.
That was it for the East?
Yes, we'll do the West and the Central later on in the show.
All right.
Next we didn't miss up, something? Though. I guess we did, huh?
No, we took away the surprise team from our selections.
We already got winner, loser.
Yep, we already got that, so we basically can't do a surprise team or anything like that. But we'll do Central and West a little bit later. Now,
do you guys want to... Scrape, I'm surprised you're not making fun of me.
Well, I've been trying to...
Because I'm doing my research out of the newspaper.
trust me, I saw this
gives me the
yesterday.
Hardest time.
Scrape's favorite player is on there, right there.
Yeah, Paul Skeens.
I don't hate Paul Skeens. I would have drafted him in fantasy, but Thomas Andrews took him way too early.
That would have been the only way you stopped hating on Paul Skeens if he was on your fantasy
team. It's true. The other day, Chris was making a lot of noise into the mic with his paper. Do the paper thing in the mic again. Yeah, that. And I wanted to be like, are we actually reading a paper on the air right now?
It's got the information that I need.
Okay. In the Big Five, did you guys hear about the Players Festival or Players Era Festival, the basketball tournament that colleges do in November that San Diego State?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't heard any new news. You got some new news for us?
Oh, yeah, there's some new news.
All right. Let's do this. Let's get to break. On the other side, we got our Big Five. We'll be able to hear some of this news that Mr. Scraby has.
Yes.
Mr. Mark Scraby, that is.
Hmm.
Quinn and Chris on the other side.
All right. About this time every day on the program, I like to kind of recap some of the stories going on in sports. Not a whole lot to discuss, though, today. Russell Wilson has come out. New Giants quarterback said, quote, "I expect to be the starter." No word on whether he plans on working for that position. LeBron James went on the Pat McAfee show today and talked about his lack, really, of a relationship with Michael Jordan, how he hopes that they'll have one one day. He said a few other things. We'll discuss that. I know Tony wants to get in that as well.
He said a lot of other things.
Yes, he did. But kind of a little bit more of an interview with LeBron where it wasn't, like, what did you think of the game tonight?
Yeah, no, it was
that kind of thing. So.
They got to ask a bunch of questions that I'm sure a lot of people have been wanting to ask or have been wanting someone to ask him.
Want to hear the answer to. Yes. Yes. And here we go. Scraby has found some stuff, though, to talk about. So we'll go there for the big
five.
After
traffic's not ready.
Traffic.
But we will check traffic. When it is ready.
Okay.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I started by saying that the Players Era Festival, which the Aztecs were a part of this last year, is going to be a little bit different in the next 2 years.
Number five.
And I'm not sure it's for a good reason. But the Players Era Festival is a Las Vegas-based NIL event that pays millions to college basketball players and debuted with 8 teams this season. It's expanding again in historic fashion. It was already reported that they are going to 18 teams next season, but in 2026, they're trying to make history. Event organizers are planning to stage a whopping 32-team tournament in November 2026, sources told CBS Sports, which would make the Players Era Festival by far the biggest non-NCAA tournament event in college basketball history. My first original question was, is bigger always better? But my better question, I think, Chris, is this the blueprint to replace the NCAA tournament?
Before the season starts?
I mean, they can move it to
the
end.
What are you talking about?
Because...
Well, I don't get it. You invite a bunch of teams and you call it the NCAA tournament?
Chris has been saying for the last week or so that eventually the SEC, those teams are going to start a tournament and kick and not do the NCAA tournament.
I know.
So that's what I'm saying. Is this
I think
the
that will happen,
that?
But no, I don't think this is the blueprint to that. This is a totally different thing. I mean, the Aztecs are invited to this tournament. They were in it last year. They're in it next year. They'll probably be in it as long as they want to.
We came in
third last year and not only got into the NCAA tournament because of this tournament,
yeah,
but they got a ton of money for the program. It was a fantastic win-win in all shapes or form. What I'm talking about is that eventually, at the end of the season, the SEC and the Big Ten and Big 12 are going to say, all right, we're going to do our own NCAA tournament now. And you can have the rest of the teams, but we're going to have all the good teams. And they're going to try to, hog all the money.
I honestly think that is going to be a mistake. I don't think people...
Because like the Cinderella aspect?
I think America likes the Cinderella
aspect.
That's
what gets the fringe fans to
watch. And they won't tune in to an all-SEC tournament. I don't believe that.
I hope you're right.
But I
guess I'm going to go back to my original question because...
That question turned out not to be as good as you wanted it to be.
Is bigger always better?
No. I think... here's the thing about the preseason tournament that I think could be a good thing. Eventually, there's going to be too many teams, right, that want to participate. So, there's enough money out there, as we're learning, that someone will do a new tournament, have a prize of money at the end, and we'll start seeing these pop up in more places. You know what I'm saying? Right now, what's this one called?
Players Era Festival.
Players Era Festival. I don't know who it's funded by, but clearly it was successful enough for them to be able to get more money and invite more teams. I think that'll be something. This won't be the only tournament like it moving forward. I think that's where the positivity comes out of this one.
All right. We'll move to the next.
Number four.
In his mind, there's still a long way to go before CBS television commentator Jim Nance envisions himself saying goodbye, friends, and retiring. The 65-year-old Nance, who will broadcast his 40th Masters next month, told the Scottish golf magazine Bunkered that he'd like to continue broadcasting through the playing of the 100th Masters in 2036. He said, a lot of things have to happen for that to occur. First off, my health would have to hold up. Secondly, CBS and Augusta National would have to want me to come back. But if the stars aligned right now, it feels like a pretty good exit point. April 14th, 2036. That is my scheduled retirement date. It would be a perfect place to walk out. So, Tony, I don't really know what to ask about this, but where does Jim Nance rank on broadcasters all time? I think we've already asked this before.
I think he's up there. He's high. I don't know where the list is, but he's up there. For me, I mean, Vin, Chick Hearn.
Dick Enberg, probably.
Dick.
His overall.
I was going to say Monfort.
No, he's not on this list.
Jerry's on my list. I love Jerry.
Jerry, Ted. I mean, Larry's at the top of the top. I mean, just think of all the games. I mean, he was doing NCAA basketball before he retired and has just done golf here, or, the Masters here as of recent. But I think he's up there. What the number is, I'll say top five.
Okay. Chris?
My Rolodex doesn't go as deep as Mr. Ello over here. Have some names that I'm missing.
For some reason, in golf specifically, Ken Venturi was the name that he was.
Ken Venturi was
the
analyst.
Yeah, he wasn't play-by-play. You're right. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think Jim Nance is top five in this era. Okay. I mean, for sure, with Joe Buck and, you know, Jim Nance and Al Michaels and, you know, guys that are, you turn into the game, you know the game means something a little more.
Because they're doing it.
Because they're doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm so glad that, you know, before the NCAA tournament stuff was done, he got to do the Aztecs final four games. Because that seemed to add a little more excitement to it. So I think he should go out on his own. And if he wants to go out in 10 years, you know, he stays healthy enough, I bet the Masters will let him go out in 10 years.
I also like how he's so humble that he's like, I don't even know if they'll want me back.
Yeah, he's pretty, like, he's come a pretty on, straight, Jim. Humble guy. He's a good guy.
You notice that a lot of people who have humility end up lasting longer in their...
Yes, because not everybody wants to fire their butts.
I wonder why. Yeah. When they walk into a room, the whole... You start shivering because you're afraid of that person.
That's not a good look.
Did you guys ever see the video? I don't know where this video was, but Tom Brady and I think it's Peyton Manning break into Jim Nance's house and they're hitting golf shots off his roof.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
And then Jim Nance comes home and finds them there.
It is funny.
I don't know where that came from, but it was a few years ago I saw it.
Jim Nance lives off of Pebble Beach, right? The golf course?
I believe it was in that neighborhood, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure the whole thing was staged, but it was still pretty funny to watch. Yeah.
All right, Jimmy Butler. Wait, let me get rid of this. And actually, you know what? Traffic is ready. So all of you out there looking for some traffic, here it is.
Number three.
All right, so we talked about Jimmy Butler returning to Miami last night after a long and heated fight with Pat Riley. Is he the president of the Heat? He's not just the GM. When asked about returning to Miami, I wrote that very strange. Butler said, quote, I have nothing to say to Pat, and Pat better have nothing to say to me, end quote. Butler and Riley's relationship took a turn for the worse earlier this season when Butler was suspended by the team multiple times and eventually requested a trade out of Miami. He, Jimmy Butler, that is, reportedly viewed Riley's behavior during the saga as, quote, unhinged and, quote, disturbing after the two had a private meeting that had Riley in tears. Never heard about that, but...
Who said it was disturbed?
Jimmy said that Butler reportedly viewed Riley's behavior during the saga as unhinged and disturbing. Okay. So, Chris, does Jimmy Butler just need to let this go?
No. I mean, it was a bad divorce. They happen all the time in all kinds of worlds, so I don't blame him. He doesn't really want to revisit it. I would imagine Pat Riley probably didn't want to really revisit it too many more times either. No. So I think it's fair. Jimmy, you know, this didn't go well. But a lot of, you know, this happens in movies. It happens in, you know, celebrity situations and everyday walks of life. Some people split up and they are best friends. Some people split up and they never want to see each other ever again.
I've heard about those movies before where the actors hate each other, but they get the job done because it's their job.
I get you, but Jimmy Butler didn't want to get the job done for Pat Riley anymore.
I guess so. Tony, does Jimmy Butler need to let it go?
I think Jimmy has let it go. I think the media was asking him because they were going back to Miami.
They had to ask.
Of course they did. So I don't know that Jimmy hasn't let it go. I mean, Jimmy's happy where he's at right now. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And Pat probably doesn't want to revisit it either. Ultimately, Jimmy wanted to get paid. Pat didn't necessarily want to do that. This isn't the first player Pat has did that. He did it to Dwayne Wade at one point.
Yeah,
he let LeBron walk on out the door. So, I mean, he is not afraid to let you go. Like, if it ain't on his terms, then it ain't on his terms. And, you know, that's the way it is.
It's the way the cookie crumbles.
The way the cookie was. I don't know if the cookie crumbled. He had LeBron's cookies taken away from him. LeBron was talking about that today.
What?
When he... Dwayne Wade tells the story. He knew LeBron was gone. He was joking, of course. But when Pat Riley had the cookies taken off the plane. Apparently, after every game, as LeBron explained today on Pat McAfee's show, after every game, the stewardess would make cookies. And it became like a thing where they... give two cookies to him every time he got on the plane.
LeBron wanted his cookies.
And so he said one day he got on there and he said, look. Said the stewardess looked at him and he said, oh, that was a different look.
Like, she's like, I got no cookies, bro.
Basically. And so he called her. He said, do we got any of those cookies? He said, no, they've taken them off the plane. And he said it wasn't like Pat came up and, like, took the cookies out of his hand, but he knew what the message was being sent, and that was that. They didn't have cookies on the plate.
All right, that seemed. I'm a little out on Pat Riley. I mean, first Horace Grant, now Michael Jordan not letting him eat on the planes, and then you got this cookie thing. Like, what was the point of the cookie? It wasn't about them eating the cookies. It was because LeBron liked the cookies.
No, it was about eating the cookies. He wanted. Remember, this is one of the Heat are notoriously known as being like. Insanely in condition. They got condition tests. They got fat tests. They got all that. Like, they check your fat. Right. So he was maybe, even though LeBron is like literally the most in shape person I've ever seen in my life. But that's just a little side story.
You know, LeBron probably wakes up every day wanting to look like me. That's what he does.
Number two.
Okay. Four. You guys are.
Glad you're entertaining yourself over there.
I hate it when I do a joke that doesn't land and you guys just sit there. Former NFL defensive end J.J. Watt is moving up the broadcasting ranks. CBS announced today that Watt will join the network as an NFL game analyst, teaming up with veteran announcer Ian Eagle. Watt and Eagle will begin calling games in this next season, with the pair operating as CBS's number two NFL team. Watt said in a statement, "There is nothing better than the energy and excitement of being in a stadium on game day in the NFL. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to return to that atmosphere each week, working with one of the best in Ian. While I certainly miss delivering hits on the field, it will be nice to leave the stadium without taking any, unless Ian decides to try something crazy." End quote. Ha ha. As I come off of making a bad joke.
He's almost as funny as you.
I know, as I come off of making a bad joke. Tony, do you think J.J. Watt is going to be a good analyst?
Yeah. I think he'll be good. I don't know if he'll be Tony Romo. I know people don't like him no more, but or he'll be Troy. But he's certainly knowledgeable. I liked his stuff as a guest analyst on, what was that, CBS he was on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he'll be good.
Chris?
Who's the number one team? Is Nance still doing NFL?
It's Nance and Romo.
Okay, so Nance is still doing NFL.
Yeah,
that he just gave up the NCAA. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say Ian Eagle should be the number one guy.
Yeah, man.
Because he's just
take,
so
he can't
good.
Take Larry's spot, who's clearly right. going to be there for a little bit longer. But, like,
Ian Eagle.
I mean, Larry Nance.
Larry Nance. going sorry, back to the Phoenix Suns.
I was wondering why Scrappy was looking at me like
1984
that.
1984 dunk contest. Yeah. Larry Nance.
Sorry, Jim.
I think Ian Eagle is the greatest right now. Honestly, I think he's the best play-by-play guy in all the sports.
I do too.
And so
he's awesome.
So I'm pretty sure that JJ will do well because he's got the right guy, you know, sitting with him.
All right, let's go to the final one.
Number one.
This was just this hit my email inbox about 20 minutes ago or so, but the San Diego Padres today announced a new broadcast distribution agreement to televise 10 Padres regular season Saturday games on CBS 8 and the CW for free over the air through the 2026 season. A minimum of 7 games will be simulcast on CBS 8, and the remaining games will air on the CW, allowing fans in the Padres market the opportunity to watch select game per charge. Fans can also watch the team on Padres TV all season long, unless the game has been selected for a national broadcast. The first game that the Padres are going to be on CBS 8 is versus the Tampa Bay Rays on April 26th, with remaining games scheduled to air on either CBS 8 or the CW. If one of the designated games is selected for a national broadcast, the Padres and KFMB will replace the simulcast with another Saturday game that will air either on CBS 8 or the CW. The Padres pre- and post-game shows will also be included in these broadcasts.
Okay.
Discuss. No question.
Who's first?
Discuss.
Chris, you're first.
What's wrong with this?
I didn't say there was anything wrong
okay,
with it.
Okay, well, there's your answer.
This is
good.
Great. Yeah.
You know, we keep talking about it. I mean, let more people watch the games. You know, this is a problem all the baseball, everybody's having right now,
yeah.
is that, you know, the games are available in places people can't see them. It's not good. So for the Groupner and those guys to work this out to get some games on free TV, you know, every Saturday for a lot of people who don't have cable, don't have internet, there are still people. So I'm happy with this. Really good.
Tony?
I agree. I mean, free games on cable.
Not even cable. If you don't even have a cable, you can still get channel 8.
So excuse me, over here, I'm about to say, a station that everybody gets.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think people are going to be happy about it because I know,
need the remote. Give me the remote.
I know people are upset and they're not really sure about the TV situation, but this should help a little bit. Oh no! I just stuck my hand in a sandwich.
I don't need that remote anyway. I need the.
Here's the remote.
That
this remote.
Disgusting, and it was gross.
A little lettuce. Knock it off.
All right, that's it for the big.
Was that number one?
Yep.
Oh, got there much earlier than normal.
Well, we started a little bit earlier, so that was good.
Okay. We still have our NL West, NL Central.
I assume we're waiting on the West to the end.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do the West, of course, last.
Someone on the chat says, you don't have internet, but you're setting up a modern antenna system? Doubt it. That's not true. Not true at all.
I'm confused.
Like, if you have internet, you probably have cable as well.
Because
it comes in a package together. But I do know someone who refuses to pay cable, and they use their cell phone internet as their internet. So they don't pay cable company. They do the over-the-air thing.
But the other question that I had there, okay, so if I have a television I buy from the store, but they're all cable ready and this, that, and the other ready, right?
But
so,
you can still, I think.
No, but can you still tune Channel 8 in without having cable?
There's got to be a way. I haven't done it in a long time, but there's got to be a way.
Okay. Very good.
There you go.
NCAA Sweet 16 is tomorrow. We got 2 minutes in this segment, guys. I'll give you the games that are being played. Do you see any upsets in the NCAA tournament at this stage? Because nobody really is seeing any upsets. Maryland and Florida. I mean, nobody's going to pick Maryland in that game. You are.
I have Maryland.
Okay. Are you happy with this pick at this point, based on what you've seen?
Yeah.
Okay. Arizona-Duke.
I got Duke.
I think everybody's got Duke. Texas Tech and the Sauce. That might be where people go for some upsets, just because everybody kind of likes Calipari
the
right
Sauce
now.
The Sauce has knocked off two pretty good ones already
they have.
To get to this point.
Right.
The Sauce.
And then BYU and Alabama, as I said, I hope that game they cancel
I hope Alabama,
runs them off the court.
I hope they double and triple them up.
Triple them up. And then Friday's games, again, I think, most people are going one way or the other. Michigan State over Mississippi. Tennessee over Kentucky, Auburn over Michigan, Houston over Purdue. Yeah. Do you see any upsets there?
Nope.
Scrabby, you want to chime in? Or
he's out.
You're leading the pool between the three of us.
Are you leading?
He's 21st. Ahead of us. He's got 45.
It's not great. You guess who's leading the entire thing.
Oh, did you see who is leading the entire thing, Tony? Don't tell Tony. He's going to get in a really sour mood.
It's Braden.
Braden's leading all of us.
We're never going to hear the end. I hope. We need to all pray for upsets, ladies and gentlemen.
Something's got
to
happen.
All right, I got a text from someone about this. I don't have cable, and I use an antenna that goes directly into my brand new 4K flat screen and still get local channels. So there you go. You can do it.
Boom.
Very good.
Break we go.
Yes, we do, and then we get happy. The happy hour. And Tony, you'll see the back of Tony's head for the next hour. He'll be watching a Laker game.